And let's get started this afternoon. Glad to have you on board. Appreciate you being with us. Thank the Lord for His mercy. And appreciate you getting in touch with us this afternoon. If you'd like to participate, 577-1296, 577-1296. That brings everything into my iPad here. And then you can also call us at 828-884-9427. Glad to hear from you this afternoon. Heads up, in the Howard Gap Road area near, well, it's actually Zeb Corn Road, apparently is shut down due to a wreck. And it's on the Howard Gap Road end. It runs between Clear Creek and Howard Gap. It's on the Howard Gap Road end. And understand it is closed in both directions. And so watch out for emergency vehicles in that section here this afternoon. Well, we're grateful for you being with us. We hope that you had a good weekend, and it was a long one with the Thanksgiving holiday. And hope that you had a good time. I hope that you did. Hope you had family come over or friends. And if not, hope that you spent a good time with the radio and here with us at WGCR. We appreciate, again, the announcers who worked the weekend to give others off. We appreciate them. And, again, appreciate everything the Lord is doing. Let's quickly get you some traffic information. It looks like a Tuesday. I mean, there's really nothing going on. Very little to talk about. You've got maybe a little slower around Asheville heading west, a little slower, a little sooner possibly. Other than that, everything is running pretty good. I mean, there's just not a lot to talk about. If you go west on 40, you've still got your issue there with the bridge out, and they make you get off and get back on over there at Harmon's Den. And so that's there. And then you're in pretty good shape everywhere this afternoon, including 25, 25A, 191. All of those are fine. Not a lot of issues. And so, not a lot to talk about. If we drop down the mountain, of course, Greenville's bad. It's always bad. And maybe a little worse today than usual. And I see what it is. There's a wreck. It's right there where 14 crosses. It looks like it's on I-85. They say it's on the north side, but if it might be on the north side, because there is traffic backed up down to 385. But if you're heading south, it looks like they're about stopped. So apparently you can see it. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, it does have that hole. It's always bad right through there from Pelham to BMW and then down to 385. That's always bad, but it's really bad today. Okay. And then slower down around I-85 and 185, 25 and 20, right in that section, off the pace this afternoon as well. Well, temperatures are, right now it's down to 38 already, and another cold night tonight, but we're going to see some real moderation in the temperature. It's going to, well, I said the other day, I said we've seen the last of the 70s, and I'm still going to hold to that. I think that we've probably seen the last of it, but I will say this: it looks like we're going to get pretty close to it, and so may not get to 70, but we're going to get pretty close. Going to get pretty warm, and that's coming up in the mid to latter part of this week. At it was 41 degrees at Asheville at 6 minutes until 5, and then in Greenville they had 49 degrees at 7 minutes till 5. And one of the things, notice that it's extremely dry right now. We have a dry air mass, humidity down in the 20s. You know, as the sun sets, it begins to pick back up a little bit. But there's a real danger of fire. And because this humidity is so low, it is not advised to be burning during this really dry time. Yeah, it could get out, and it could be a... There was a weather statement actually issued by the National Weather Service about burning for Henderson County today, and I know it traveled to other counties as well. When I was talking about temperatures, let's kind of give you the days. Tomorrow, it's hard to believe, tomorrow is 60. Wednesday, 60. Thursday, 65. By Friday, 69. It's hard to believe in December, but that's what they're saying. And we won't see freezing again tonight, 27, but we will not see freezing again. I'm looking down the list here. I don't see freezing temperatures. Well, I don't see a freezing temperature in the next 7 days. I don't see it other than tonight. Tuesday night, 33, but tonight, 27, Tuesday, but I don't see it getting below freezing for almost a week. So that also is very unusual. Yeah, that's a little bit a little bit unusual. We'll take it though. I've been so cold, my goodness, I have. First the season always is, you know, is tough, but I've been cold, and having worked outside a lot in my lifetime, I know how to dress and have the cold weather gear. But just that transition time of the year, man, it hurts, you know, that first part of it. The 29th day of the next to the last day of November is being sponsored by the AG family. And they mentioned my name, and I didn't know that, but thank you. And they also, all of God's servants here at Anchor and all they do for the kingdom of God and for His glory alone. And we say thank you to the AGs and appreciate and love them and looking forward to having them back at Share-a-thon this year. 94.9 and the Anchor Broadcasting Network is sponsored in thankfulness to the Lord for His many blessings, His continued provision, and His unconditional love toward His children. Thank you. God bless you. Appreciate that very much. 26 days until Christmas. Wow, it is counting down. And our own Mr. Joe Johnson's having a birthday today. Congratulations going out to Brother Joe. Let's take a quick look and see where folks are listening this afternoon. How about Birmingham, Los Angeles? We've got multiples listening in the District of Columbia. And Canton, Blue Ridge, Augusta, Peoria, Lexington, Kies, Germany, Plymouth, Minnesota, Lincoln, Nebraska, Weaverville, North Carolina, Raleigh, Morrisville, Arden, Hendersonville, Camp Lejeune, we welcome, Brevard, Madison, Ohio, Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, Greenville, South Carolina. Always good to hear folks in South Carolina. Fort Mill, Greer, all over the place. Houston, Texas, and multiple places. The United Kingdom is with us this afternoon. Got them lit up. We have Europe is lit up. Well, not all of Europe, just Germany and the United Kingdom is all I got lit up, but it tells me that Europe is on, so we're not sure. It's undetected as to what country, what part of Europe. But anyway, we welcome you all this afternoon to the app. And then we're glad to have so far. We've got Ann and Gary. We got Vanny from the Philippines, Johnny from Greenville, Cricket from Little River, and Dave from Legal. And Kathy's watching from Mills River. So glad to have all you folks with us. Thank you. Glad to have you watching this afternoon. Visual radio over the Facebook. And somebody asked me the other day, said, how can I get that program? And, well, there's a couple of ways. They archive them, and so you can go on the app and go backwards and listen to different programs as far as if you missed a drive time, prayer time. You can also go to Facebook and dig back through Anchor Broadcasting. They're all there. And so if you got something that you missed or something that you want to hear about, then you can do that. You can back that up, okay? And can back up and find that, okay? Now, just word of the wise here, today and tomorrow, this is the last of the 15-minute drive times. We'll start going off on December the 1st at 5:15. Yeah, I don't want to either, but that's the way it's going to go. And so want you to make provision to switch over to the FM if you can. If not, the app or the computer. Or if you have television, you can watch us on Roku. You can switch over. You can listen or watch on Roku, Apple Television, Fire Stick, and I guess what, Google Television? Is that right? Let me think about it. Google, Amazon, Google, Amazon, Apple, and Roku. Yeah. Yeah. You can, there's actually an app on your television. If you've got a smart TV, and you can download our app, and you can listen or watch on your television all the time. That's right. And of course, we have a video channel that's on 24 hours a day, and you're welcome to tune that in. If you like to watch good preaching and music, you're welcome to do that as well. Our WGCR video channel. All right. And good to see Canada on with us. And yeah, thank you so much. And good to see each of you. Thank you. Well, in the next segment, I want to share with you my brother-in-law and my wife's brother had a heart attack on Thanksgiving Day, and a pretty serious one. And I was just going to share with some folks coming up in the next segment, after we say goodnight to the AM, some of the warning signs and also what you can do to stop damage. If you think you're having a heart attack, what you can do to stop the damage. And so, pretty serious. Of course, it can cost you your life, but it can also cost you your way of life, should you live, if you have severe enough damage. And of course, a heart attack is a blockage. And when you have a partial blockage or a full blockage, it causes a heart attack. And with that, insufficient blood to the heart, and it damages that muscle. The heart's a living muscle, just like the rest of our muscles are. Okay? Yeah, we'll share a little bit more about that coming up. Okay? All right. Thank you so much. See you on the other side of sign off. All right. That should be it. And just a minute, pause, seconds, a few seconds of pause there if I timed it correctly. And so glad to have folks back on board with us. Well, let me mention a couple of things if I can. Just heard the obituary for Bob Doom. I knew Brother Bob. Smart man. And he was the son-in-law of James Stewart, missionary to Scotland. I believe that's right. And Bob used to have the bookstore over in West Asheville. Yeah. Sad to hear that, but glad he's home. Amen. All right. Well, let me just, without giving too much personal information, let me just share with you a little bit. My brother-in-law came, sat beside me at the table, and we ate, and he didn't act like he's quite feeling real good, but he had been on a big hunting expedition up in Ohio, climbing mountains and hunting, and, you know, for weeks. Came in, and so he decided, he never said anything, but he just decided he's going to go ahead and go home. He had indigestion from his dinner, and it was hurting right there at the sternum. He had heartburn, and it was hurting right there at that knot, you know, where the bottom of your rib cage there in the front. It's hurting right there. So he stopped by the store and got him some Tums, went home and took them, tried to lay down and couldn't. He wrestled it and fought it and wrestled it and fought it, wrestled it and fought it. Finally called his other sister. They come, got him, took him to the hospital. When they got the leads on him, he was having a full-blown heart attack, present tense. They called for the helicopter, and they flew him to Mission. And by the time we could get over there, he was already on the heart cath table, and he had a 100% blockage in the right coronary artery. The problem is that it had been blocked for several hours, and so he has sustained damage to his heart. It's not known exactly to the extent of how much damage, but it's damage. You're familiar, if you were to take, used to be, if somebody was bleeding, they'd put a tourniquet. Remember those? They'd put a tourniquet on somebody if they were bleeding really bad. And that was considered the way you stop the blood. You cut the blood off to the arm or to the leg or whatever. Well, the only time that is advised anymore, the only time that's ever advised is in an amputation. Or if somebody's going to bleed to death and you can't get it stopped any other way, then, you know, if they lose a limb, maybe they will live. But if they have a partially severed limb or something and there's a main artery or something cut and you can't get it stopped any other way, then you apply a tourniquet. But a tourniquet is kind of the last ditch measure because it basically cuts the blood off to that extremity. Well, you cut the blood off to any living tissue and it's going to die. When you have a heart attack is basically a it's a blood clot, or in some cases it can be a buildup of cholesterol, variety of things, plaque, cholesterol. But bottom line, it's a inclusion. It stops the flow of the blood either to the point that the muscle starts dying and causing extreme pain, or it stops it completely. It's interesting that, you know, everybody says, well, I wasn't hurting down my left arm. My brother-in-law wasn't either. I wasn't hurting in my jaw. He wasn't either. I wasn't hurting in my neck. He wasn't either. He thought he had indigestion. But bottom line, when you take something and it doesn't ease it, it's time to take the next step. And so the reason they used the helicopter, because every minute that the heart was not getting blood was another minute that tissue was dying. And so they had him on the table at 11 minutes from the time they left the ground here. They sat down in Asheville and they had him on the table before we got there, and it didn't take us but about 20 minutes or so, 25 minutes maybe, and he was already in the procedure. And the minute that they opened it up, he got relief. The very minute that they opened it up, he got relief. He was scheduled for a second calf on Saturday, but the doctor felt like it would not be advisable right now. He has another that's about 70% blocked, but they're going to wait. Don't feel like he's strong enough right now to undergo that. So it's true with a stroke and stroke-like symptoms. It's true with a heart attack. There is a clock that starts ticking, and the quicker you react to it, the less damage it conceivably can do. If you have signs of a stroke, if they can get you to the hospital and get you there fast enough, there are treatments now that they can administer very quickly, and it can minimize the signs of a stroke or the symptoms of a stroke. And of course, when you have, you know, the brain does not have blood and the brain begins to die, and portions of the brain, that depends on what portion it's in, but it can leave you paralyzed. It can leave you. I know a man who he had a stroke and it caused dementia, and he hasn't known anybody now in years. And it was a stroke, they think, that did it. But he knows no one. It affected that part of the brain. I know someone else that had a stroke. It affected their judgment, and just didn't have right judgment. Had a lot of issues with judgment, trying to figure, you know, just do silly things that most people would know not to do. And And somebody said, well, I don't want to have to go through all that. Well, there's a whole lot of things. Someone says, I'm ready to meet the Lord. Well, there's a whole lot of things worse than dying. Dying's easy. That just lasts a few minutes and you're with the Lord. It's living as a vegetable, living as an invalid, living for somebody else to have to care for you the rest of your life. Yeah, how you like that? And that's how it happens lots of the time. So, if you have a death wish, that ain't the way to do it. I'll just tell you that because it may not be fatal. You may not get your wish, and then you'll be in a mess. So and then plus with knowing the thought that if I'd done something, I wouldn't be in this fix. And somebody said, well, I'll just drive to the hospital, or I'll just do that. Again, you don't, if you meet the criteria. You know, the paramedics carry EKGs. They can tell if you're having a heart attack. They will immediately start giving you medicines to minimize the heart attack. And those count. Oh, yes, they do. They count. The same thing with a stroke. Many times now, if they know that it's a stroke, they won't even go to the local hospital. They'll take you straight to the stroke center just as fast as they can run because minutes count. And so somebody said, well, how do I know? You know, how do I know? When do I make a decision? Well, anytime your body starts producing, pain is a hard thing to judge. Okay, so it's hard to know about pain because I've had what's called a esophageal spasm. Oh my word! Thought I was gonna die. All it was a spasm, but I'm telling you, I thought it was a heart attack. It felt like a heart attack. Good gracious. But I didn't have the other signs. If you break out in a big beaded sweat, that's often signs. Oh, yeah. If you hurt to the point you throw up, that's also a sign. Yeah. Well, the body, when it goes into emergency mode, it's not unusual for the body to void itself. Sometimes their bowels will empty, sometimes empty their stomachs. It's not uncommon. When you break out in the sweat like that, again, your body's going into emergency mode. And so when you see any of those emergency signs, when it's a stroke, if you see any drooping, any weakness in someone's smile, sticking out their tongue, there's a whole group of things. You know, are their eyelids sagging, one side of their face feels numb. There's a whole group of things that you listen for, you watch for. And, if you see any of those, then it's not time to guess. It's time to move. But here in the mountains, people are stubborn. They just are. People are stubborn. But, and by the way, if the hospital knows that they've got an in-progress heart attack, they brought in a full cath team. An emergency cath team came in to do his cath, and they were waiting. On the time the helicopter got there, they were there. There were six men standing around the table when they rolled him in, and they went to work on him immediately. Oh, yeah, no waiting. He didn't have to go through the emergency room or nothing. I mean, they took him from the landing pad straight to the cath lab. Boom. I've never seen a team move any faster. I was in the room when they transferred him at the local hospital. I've never seen him move any faster. They were getting it. And that helicopter, when they got altitude, son, they were out of here. I'm talking about they were getting on with it. So, just a word to the wise. I'd rather go and not be that than to not go and cost myself brain cells or heart tissue because I didn't think it was that serious. Now, not in this case, but let's just talk about in sickness in general. Okay, so let's just talk about sick. You're sick. Do I go to the hospital or do I not? Okay, do I go or do I not? Now, I'm not talking about heart attack and stroke. I'm talking about other things. Do I go or do I not? Let me tell you a couple little tricks, a couple little tips. There are people who have panic attacks. And a panic attack feels like you're going to die. I mean, it is a feeling of impending doom. And you think you're going to die, and you feel like you're going to die. But most of the time, you're not. But it feels like it. So what do you do? Well, if you're unsure, get somebody to drive you and go to your nearest firehouse. You have to go in. just go to the firehouse. Pull up in the front yard and see if you feel better or worse. And if you say, well, I sat there a few minutes and say, well, I think I'm getting over it. Okay, then you see you've got options. A lot of firehouses are manned. There's somebody right there. They just walk out in the parking lot and they're there. They're 24 hours a day. Not all of them, but many of them are. If not, everybody knows where the firehouse is at. And so they'll come straight to you. Somebody, and then if you say, well, no, I'm not feeling any better, but I'm not really interested in an ambulance ride, but I'm not feeling any better. Well, then drive to the emergency room. And again, you don't have to go in. Just drive up to the set in the parking lot a minute. See how you get feeling. So, well, why would you do that? There's something about being there, just being there, knowing that you're 50 feet from the door, that takes some of the pressure off of the decision. And if you were in trouble, they could come out to the car. See what I'm saying? Well, working with first responders for quarter of a century, and in being a pastor as well, I always tell folks, if you've got any doubt, dial 911. They say, well, I do have doubt. I don't know what to do. I say, well, try this. Drive to the firehouse. And then if you don't get any relief and you feel like you don't, but you still don't want an ambulance, drive to the hospital. Don't go in, just drive to the hospital and sit there and see if you get feeling better. And then if that don't work, then by all means go in. See what I'm saying? Well, what you've done is you've taken that drive time out of the equation. If you're 10 minutes from the firehouse and 10 more minutes to the hospital, well, you've just taken 20 minutes. In this county, the hospital's 30 minutes away. Yeah. But here's the other thing. There are other firehouses. So you could even hopscotch. You leave one firehouse and go to the other one. And if you still felt, then go to the next one. And you could hopscotch to the different firehouses. And if that's still no relief, then you go on to the hospital. But I guess what I'm trying to say is getting near help, as near as you can get to it, getting near help is always advisable. And you can always cancel it. And can I tell you, first responders and paramedics don't mind if when you call them, you get to feeling better and you say, you know, I think I'm going to be okay. I don't want to go. There's no cost. You sign a refusal and they'll all go back home, you know, and they're not going to get mad at you unless you do it every day, you know. So just saying that, try to get yourself positioned to get help. You may not be ready for help, but position yourself where you can get help if you need it. If it's in the daytime, go to an urgent care and sit out front. Train doctors, physicians, assistants, you know, PAs, FNPs inside. Oh yeah, they can deal with, you know. And so if the need be, that's not what they do typically, but they could. See what I'm saying? If you're in real trouble, they could deal with it and get the ambulance to there and get you on. I hear the ambulance respond all the time to the urgent cares. I hear it all the time do it. And it's because So I'm talking to a nurse here. It's on the other line. She's texting in from Arkansas. And she says they have done door to balloon. In other words, from the time that you come through the door till they put the balloon and open up the artery, they have done one in 4 minutes and 15 seconds. That's getting it. 4 minutes and 15 seconds. And it can save your life, but it can also save your heart tissue. So, okay. Yeah. And here's another thing. When some people are plumbed differently In his case, he had a very large RCA, very large right coronary artery, which was carrying a bigger percentage of the blood to his heart than typical. So to have it completely stopped up was a big lick. Okay. There are people who live, Brother Ralph Sexton Sr., I forgot what his percentage was of his heart that was working, but it wasn't much. He lived for years with just a very small percentage of his heart. He lived, it was the late 80s when he had his big heart attack. And so it had been 90s. I know he lived 15 years, roughly, after that. And so, you know, but, you know, there's all sorts of things. There's reactions to medicines. There's the panic attacks. And by the way, panic attacks are real. Oh, it's just in your head. No. It's they manifest themselves physically. And you think you're going to die. Yeah. A lot of people don't know anything about low blood sugar. Low blood sugar can make you feel like that. If you get real low, oh, it is a scary, scary feeling. Terrible, terrible feeling. The problem is when you get real low, you don't know to fix it. It's one of the problems. You feel terrible, but you can't think as to what's wrong. And all you have to do is drink some orange juice, but you can't think to drink orange juice. As a matter of fact, sometimes people will do the wrong thing. They'll give themselves a shot of insulin, and their blood is already super low. And they'll give them, thinking that they're high because they feel bad. And it's the other way around. I've seen it. I've seen people so high that they acted drunk. Just as drunk as a hoot owl. And it's because their sugar was 600. I mean, they were completely out of it. Highway Patrol pulled a man not far from here and thought he was drunk. And he was acting drunk. He was driving like he was drunk. And the minute that they pulled him over, they realized that it was not alcohol, that it was medical. And they called, and his blood sugar would not measure on the glucometer that the paramedics carried. It wouldn't measure it. It didn't go that high. Yeah. So, I'm just saying. Let me ask a question. Has anybody heard about a fatality in one of the fast food restaurant parking lots this weekend? Did anybody heard anything about that? I haven't. Somebody's asking me, and I know I have not heard anything about that. Has anybody else heard about that? A fatality in a restaurant parking lot? Yeah. Yeah. I have it. Maybe somebody will let us know. Yeah, I'm not sure. Okay. By the way, they have just issued a burning ban for the state of North Carolina. Yep, statewide. Now, as far as I know, the only way they do it is by state. I think that's wrong. I think they need to do it at least by region or possibly by county, because what's going on the coast is not necessarily what's going on in the mountains. But that's how they do them, statewide burning bans. But yeah, it is extremely dry, and so just word of the wise. So no burning leaves, none of that. That's over. That can't happen till it rains for sure. Okay, so and it's a good point too. Our local hospital here, Pardee, are now part of the UNC system, the North Carolina University system. And you know, part of UNC Chapel Hill, actually. And they have implemented some advanced protocols for CPR and for life-saving. And rather than throw you in the ambulance and race off doing heart compressions, they're just the opposite. They stay put. Wherever you land, that's where they work you at. And they have now, they've got advanced drugs they're pushing, and they have also lessened how long an individual can do CPR. Now, if you're by yourself, you do it until you can't do it any longer. But as far as how they do it in Henderson County now, the way they do it, it's only a couple of minutes. Because if you're doing it correctly, a couple of minutes is all you can stand it. I mean, you are, as far as you're administering it. And then the next person steps up, and you don't even miss a heartbeat, literally. One steps across the top, and the other one steps in, and three people rotate, and you continue to do that. I think it's 45 minutes now. And here's the amazing thing. Their number of saves are up. Yeah, their numbers of saves are up. They are getting success with the extended protocols, extended life-saving techniques, extended CPR, extended drugs. Yeah, they're saving lives with it. And their save rate has come way up. And so, it's come way up. And if you had CPR back in the day or whatever, things have changed considerably. Yeah, considerably, yeah. Someone had 100% blocked on the left side, lived 13 years. Yeah, it's possible. And again, people are plumbed differently. And the other part of it is, you know, people get used to stuff. If you have a blockage and you're only getting 5% or something, you've kind of learned to live with that. And so, I mean, sometimes the heart compensates. It really does. It can compensate. For blockages, it will actually enlarge other arteries, and it'll actually, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've been told that your heart can compensate and will actually do some rerouting. I know your liver can to a degree. So, yeah, it's amazing. Somebody's asking, how's Matt? He's okay. We're celebrating his birthday tonight, so I've got to leave here in a minute. And it turned 41 on Saturday. And so thank you for asking about him. Thank you for asking, for sure. Well, there is the takeaway from all this is that it's one thing when you can't do anything about it. That's one thing. But when you can but don't know what to do, that's another. In other words, if you had known, you could have avoided this, this, and this. That's what I'm talking about, is, knowing to make changes, how to spot things. Also, in prayer request this afternoon, we have lost another one of our preachers to COVID. And this brother was on the Navajo Reservation. His name is Bobby Harjo. And he died Saturday night from COVID. Tomorrow Wednesday, we'll talk about COVID-O. Have you heard about it? Yeah. It's not good. It's not good. I'll tell you more about it. I don't know if they're going to call it. I don't know if they're going to use the full name Omicron, the Greek letter, or if they're going to call it Omni, or they're going to call it O. I don't know what they're going to do. So far, they've kept with the names, but Omicron's a pretty hard thing to say. Other one was just everybody called it Delta COVID or Delta. Well, now Lambda is Filipino. Omicron, I believe, is South Africa. Now, this is the second variant that they've had. They had Beta. Is that right? Was the first one, or was the first one, where they have Alpha? They were either first or second, Alpha or Beta. The United Kingdom was the next one, which was one or the other, Alpha and Beta. And then Delta was from India. Yeah, Gamma was from Brazil. And you can track them all. Lambda is from the Philippines, and they've had a fit with it. But the next one that we're facing is O. The Yeah. So, yeah, and there's a lot to be said about the there's a lot to be said that they're not sure if the current medications, if the current your current immunity is going to help you, or at least going to stop it. May help you, but they don't know that it's going to stop it. Yeah. Quickly, let me tell you something about traffic, and I got to go. On the right lane, this is on I-40, and it is westbound in Asheville, and it is just before exit 44, so it's between I-26 and exit 44, which is Smoky Park Highway. There is a crash there, and so that whole right side is closed. It is slowing the traffic. All the traffic's having to slow down, and everybody's having to merge left as you go through that section of highway. So be on the lookout for that. It is causing issues this afternoon. Okay? All right. All right. Well, thank you for being on board. Appreciate the mercy of the Lord. And listen, I know Thanksgiving's over, but let every day be Thanksgiving Day around your house. Get up every morning. Thank God for His mercy, for all that He's given, and for all that He's forgiven. Scripture says, be ye thankful. Yeah. All right. Let's pray. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you for our gathering, being able to get together. And Lord, we're praying that you would speak to every heart. Pray for those that are sick, those that are hurting. Lord, I pray you'd help us all to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Help us, Lord, to understand Lord, the severity that can happen when you wait and prolong getting treatment. And Lord, I pray for these families that are bereaved, for this missionary's family that's bereaved. Lord, I'm praying that you'd call a dozen to take the place of this one that's succumbed to COVID there on the Navajo Reservation. Lord, please continue to work in the midst and get glory to yourself. Save the soul that's nearest hell. We'll try our best to get out of the way and give you all the glory, for we ask it and pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for being on board. I'm Pastor Randy Barton. Till we meet again, whether on the air or in the air, may God richly bless you, is our prayer.